Good morning, St. Luke's. Here are the announcements for today. Our kids' ministries are meeting today. Godly Play for the littles at 9:15 a.m. And then our teen youth will be meeting with St. Martin's at 1:15. Tabitha Dale is your point of contact for either one of those. Her information is in the bulletin. I hope everybody is staying safe with the fires and the air quality issues going on right now. I know a lot of people have been particularly concerned about Father Steve and Judy, and I just wanted to let you know that they are fine. They were not evacuated, and they're safe and well, and thank everybody for your prayers. The vestry has been having weekly meetings with the diocesan office regarding our search process and our interim rector. It looks like we will probably be welcoming an interim rector next month, so we're looking forward to introducing that person to you once we have that information. We've also been talking a lot about the search process. The diocese is asking us to expect a longer search process than we normally would have due to the pandemic situation that we are facing. So St. Luke's is not being singled out in this. This is a decision that's being unilaterally applied across the diocese for churches in a search process. And it's consistent with decisions that dioceses are making across the country right now. Because of COVID-19, we're facing a lot of additional challenges, not just as a congregation that can't have the church doors open, but just in logistics in performing a search. It's difficult for us to gather to work on our profile and to interview candidates. It's hard for people to move right now. There are a lot of factors that make that more difficult, which means that our candidate pool would potentially be reduced, and that would make it hard for us to find just that right person. So for a lot of reasons, our search process is going to be a little bit lengthier than we would have liked. I know that this is probably going to be concerning to some people, and if you want to talk to somebody about it, I would encourage you to reach out to a vestry member, and we would be happy to have that conversation with you. We were planning listening sessions to start working on our profile starting next weekend, and we are still having those listening sessions. So please, please, please come. There's sign-up information in the bulletin and in the posting, and we would love for you to come and participate in these with us. So we are going to be meeting on Saturday, August 29th from 1 to 3 p.m. And then again on Saturday, September 5th, 1 to 3 p.m. Well, those meetings will be over Zoom. They'll be the same, so you don't need to sign up for both of them. Just pick one. And if Zoom and video conferencing online is not your thing, that is okay. We still want you to participate in this process with us. So please go to the form in the link and sign up for a phone call, and we will call you and talk to you about these issues over the phone. We're going to go over a variety of different things, some visioning for St. Luke's, who we are, how we want to grow. We're also going to talk about ways that we can support each other better during this pandemic time, and get some ideas on there about how we can pull together and be a church right now. I also want to extend an invitation to those folks who are listening to our services but who have maybe never joined us in person in the church building. I know several folks have reached out to the church and let us know that they've been joining us for digital services. You are a welcome part of St. Luke's, and if you would like to participate in our listening sessions, we would love to meet you in person. So please feel free to sign up for those, and we look forward to seeing your face. Everybody have a wonderful Sunday, and stay safe and stay well. And enjoy the service. Send out your light and your truth, that they may lead me and bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Psalm 43, verse 3.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on us, forgive us all our sins, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Amen.
Grant, O merciful God, that your church, being gathered together in unity by your Holy Spirit, may show forth your power among all peoples to the glory of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Almighty God, look graciously on the people of St. Luke's Church. Be with us in this season of transition. Walk with us and guide us that we may be genuine in our self-reflection, tireless in our commitment, patient in our discernment, loving in our communion, open in our search, and daring in our faith. We thank you for the gifts, talents, and skills with which you have blessed us. We thank you for the experiences that have brought us to this moment. Help us accept change as a gift of your direction for our journey in this transition. Instill in us a vision for our parish, that guided by your Holy Spirit, we will be united in love and joyfully accomplish this mission. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
A reading from the book of Exodus. Now a new king arose over Egypt, who did not know Joseph. He said to his people, "Look, the Israelite people are more numerous and more powerful than we. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, or they will increase, and in the event of war, join our enemies and fight against us and escape from the land." Therefore, they set taskmasters over them to oppress them with forced labor. They built supply cities, Pithom and Ramses, for Pharaoh. But the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied and spread, so that the Egyptians came to dread the Israelites. The Egyptians became ruthless in imposing tasks on the Israelites and made their lives bitter with hard service in mortar and brick and in every kind of field labor. They were ruthless in all the tasks that they imposed on them. The king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, one of whom was named Shiprah and the other Puah, "When you act as midwives to the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stool, if it is a boy, kill him. But if it is a girl, she shall live." But the midwives feared God. They did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but they let the boys live. So the king of Egypt summoned the midwives and said to them, "Why have you done this and allowed the boys to live?" The midwives said to Pharaoh, "Because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are vigorous and give birth before the midwives come to them." So God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and became very strong. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families. Then Pharaoh commanded all his people, "Every boy that is born to the Hebrews you shall throw into the Nile, but you shall let every girl live." Now a man from the house of Levi went and married a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a fine baby, she hid him 3 months. When she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and plastered it with bitumen and pitch. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds on the bank of the river. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen. The daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river while her attendants walked beside the river. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her maid to bring it. When she opened it, she saw the child. He was crying, and she took pity on him. "This must be one of the Hebrews' children," she said. Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you?" Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Well, yes." So the girl went and called the child's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child and nurse it for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed it. When the child grew up, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and she took him as her son. She named him Moses because, she said, "I drew him out of the water." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Psalm 124. If the Lord had not been on our side,
let Israel now say,
if the Lord had not been on our side,
when enemies rose up against us,
then would they have swallowed us up alive
in their fierce anger towards us.
Then would the waters have overwhelmed us
and the torrent gone over us.
Then would the raging waters
have gone right over us.
Blessed be the Lord.
He had not given us over to be a prey for their teeth.
We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowler.
The snare is broken, and we have escaped.
Our help is in the name of the Lord,
the maker of heaven and earth.
A reading from Romans 12, 1 through 8. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us: prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Thank you. The Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, according to Matthew. Glory to you, Lord Christ. When Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do the people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. May the words of my mouth be the words that God wishes to have you hear, and may the Spirit intercede when I speak my own. Amen. In chapter 15 of Matthew's Gospel, verse 15, Peter says to Jesus, "Explain this parable to us." And Jesus says to Peter, "Are you also still without understanding?" Now today, just 30 verses later in chapter 16, we read, "Simon Peter answered, 'You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God.' Jesus replied, 'Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven.'" So what changed? What happened to open Peter and the other disciples' eyes? It couldn't have been the miracles. He had been performing those for months. It couldn't have been the healings or the teachings. Maybe it was the witty responses or clever retorts to the Pharisees that Jesus had gotten so good at. Or maybe, just maybe, it was because Peter finally listened deeply to God. The question about who do the disciples say that Jesus is, can be, and often is, overlooked in this story, and certainly in the greater narrative of the Bible. And who can blame folks the next portion of scripture, right after after Peter's profession that Jesus is the Messiah, Jesus begins to speak of his death. And Peter begins to rebuke Jesus for his proclamation, seeming to have already forgotten who Jesus is. I won't go too far into that part of the story, as you will hear it as the gospel reading next week. Friends, we are in a messy time right now, a painful time. This world seems to be out of control for many of us. This past 6 months, most of us have learned not to mutter the words, "What else can happen?" because we have seen too clearly that there is more possible. Amid a pandemic which has taken the lives of over 175,000 people and over 5.65 million have tested positive in the United States alone, and one can imagine that scores have yet to be tested, COVID-19 and the effects that it have had and continue to have on families and communities and economies remains deeply concerning. Then shortly after that pandemic began, we saw, many of us, with our own eyes, the killing of an unarmed black man named George as he died under the knee of someone who was sworn to serve and protect. The realization that serving and protecting looks different to our siblings of darker shades. The protests began across the country. The ignored and denied pandemic of racism and social injustice and inequity came pouring out into the streets of our neighborhoods, a call for a better way of treating others. Protesters of all races and creeds came out, risking their own physical health to make others aware, to call for a change. But that's not all that 2020 has had in store for us. The flames of protest have now given way to actual flames as our great state once again finds itself on fire. With the summers getting drier and hotter and vegetation turning to kindling, over 500 fires were started last week by the dry lightning, and we fear that there is another round possible in the next few days to come. We have already seen more acreage burn than the state of Rhode Island. We have once again lost homes, agricultural land, animals, and even a few of our fellow neighbors, families, and friends. A bit further away, we have the strong hurricane force winds that have destroyed farms and the livelihood of the Midwest. And now in the Gulf of Mexico, we have not only one, but possibly two hurricanes headed toward our shore at the same time. Our country is in the middle of a political season, which many would say is the most divisive that we have seen in years, certainly in my lifetime. People forgetting that we are all Americans and that we are all in this together, choosing to fight one another instead of fight for one another. You might be thinking to yourself, I didn't come to church to hear about how bad things are. I didn't come to listen to what I can hear on my favorite news channel. What is your point? First, my point is to acknowledge the pain that is for so many of our family and friends and neighbors, something they are facing right now. My point is to recognize that this is one of the most difficult times in the past century, if not longer. If you are struggling, while painful, I want you to know that you are not alone. If you are feeling overwhelmed or alone, please reach out to me or to someone you trust and get the help and support that you deserve. My point is that during these times, we cannot and should not try to white-knuckle our way through it alone. If you are in this place, what I have to say next might or might not be helpful, though I hope it can be. In times of crisis, in times of pain, some people want to find meaning, others want to find comfort, and still others just want to get through it. We have and will see these coping skills throughout the Gospels and beyond. Peter, who is often the first to react, the first to respond, often struggles with finding meaning. Often he seems quick just to want to get to the next thing. In today's gospel, we can learn much. It is a very difficult time for Jesus and his followers. It was a time when injustice and inequity was everywhere, when division was rampant and death was still in the air. And in the midst of the most difficult time, Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do others say that I am?" All the noise around us, telling us information, telling us what we are to think, what we are to believe. Even today, some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or the prophets. And then Jesus asked his disciples, those who have been with him night and day, through the amazing miracles and healings and in the darkest and scariest of threats and ignorance. Jesus asks his disciples, "But who do you say I am?" Friends, the question was posed to the disciples long ago, and it is posed again to us today. Who do you say that Jesus is? Who do you believe in? Peter professed in that moment that Jesus was in fact the Messiah and was rewarded with the keys of the kingdom of heaven, given the authority to bind or loose our sins, and given the strength that the powers of Hades will not prevail against. How do you answer Jesus' question? Who do you say that he is? During this time when confusion and pain, ignorance and arrogance, selfishness and entitlement, fear and loss surround us, that is the time to say, much like when Jesus walked with Peter and the other disciples, "What is your answer? Do you hold on to the fact, the truth, that Jesus is the Messiah? Or even more deeply, the Son of God, God incarnate, who came to live and die as one of us, who has walked through horrific pain. Those who have lost everything, including their life, and yet rose victorious from the grave. Do you believe that he came to reconcile, to heal, to love? And to do so regardless of your status or your color or your faith or your identity or who you love? After all, he ate with the prostitutes and tax collectors and touched the lepers and saw all people as beloved. If you profess with your mouth that you believe this is who Jesus is, then all that is happening around us is just noise. The mission and the purpose are clear. Love. Love God. Love your neighbor. All that is happening, though painful, will be made right if we can focus on doing those two things, and the power of Hades will not prevail. Who do you say that Jesus is? He is the Christ, the Savior and Redeemer of the world, and in knowing who he is, be prepared to be given the gifts to fulfill the kingdom. Humanity, this earthly life, can be harsh, and we can feel overwhelmed. But the Messiah has come, and in our understanding and profession, we will find the love, the peace, the comfort, and the protection for our souls. But each one of us must answer the question, who do you say I am? Amen.
Let us say together the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made, for us and for our salvation. He came down from heaven by the power of the Holy Spirit. He became incarnate from the Virgin Mary. He was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
With all our heart and mind, let us pray to God, saying, hear our prayer. Let us pray for God's people across the world. God of love,
hear our prayer.
Let us pray for the earth, that we may treat her gently. God of love,
hear our prayer.
Let us pray for our families, our friends, and our neighbors. God of love,
hear our prayer.
Let us pray for those who are sad or scared or are suffering. God of love,
hear our prayer.
Let us pray for those who have died. God of love,
hear our prayer. We pray especially this morning for John and for Cass and for Margaret and her family. Who is on your heart this morning? Almighty God, whom our needs are known before we ask, help us to ask only what accords with your will and those good things which we dare not or in our blindness cannot ask. Grant us for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Prayer for Mission. Almighty and everlasting God, by whose Spirit the whole body of your faithful people is governed and sanctified, receive our supplications and prayers which we offer before you for all members of your holy church, that in their vocation and ministry they may truly and devoutly serve you, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Glory to God, whose power is working in us, can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to him from generation to generation in the church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you.
May God give us grace never to sell ourselves short, grace to risk something big for something good, and grace to remember that the world is too dangerous for anything but the truth, and too small for anything but love. And the Almighty and Merciful Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you and keep you always. Amen.